You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat. Now we're off to the Kalahari Desert and the study of the most cooperative mammals of all, the meerkats. They are my favourites. You see them on the telly, poking up, looking around. They're great.
But they don't take their shoes off in the studio like you keep doing.
I've got itchy feet. But what is the...
And they smell.
Shut up. What is the basis of meerkat society and how is it organised? Now, Chris has been catching up with Professor Tim Clutton-Brock to chat about these fascinating furry animals.
I've worked on meerkats now for 13 years, and we've managed to tame up, habituate 14 different groups of meerkats. So we have about 300 animals in the Kalahari, which is where we work. And each of those groups, the groups are of somewhere between 10 and 40 animals in each group. Each has a separate territory of about somewhere between 5 and 10 square kilometres. And we can recognise all those individuals. And we have got them so tame that they'll actually climb onto electronic balances at request. So we've trained the meerkats for crumbs of hard-boiled egg to get onto the balances.
But what are you ultimately hoping to find out by doing this?
I think the single focus of the study is why they're so cooperative. So the meerkats are arguably the most cooperative mammal. Perhaps it's a near-run thing between them and naked mole rats, but meerkats are very, very cooperative. One female in each group breeds, and everyone else in the group helps to rear her pups. Males and female group members, fully mature individuals, fully mature males, babysit the pups. They help to get food for the pups. They guard the pups. They go on guard in turn. So the group is breeding as a unit, not unlike an insect society.
How do they decide who's a dominant female?
When you remove a dominant female, all the potential other females compete like fury. They fight commonly, and then one finally emerges, and she suppresses the others. She commonly evicts the main challengers over the next few months, and then she turns in and produces children over, can be 5 to 10 years. So the group gradually becomes a dominant female and the male she's mated to and her children.
So how do they persuade all of their other members of their colony to rear their own, well, the children of the animal that's breeding at the expense of breeding themselves?
Well, that's a very good question. They stop the other females breeding. So the presence of the dominant female actually suppresses their fertility, so the others can't breed. If they do breed, and they do occasionally, the dominant female commonly kills and sometimes eats their pups.
So that's a pheromonal suppression, is it?
It's probably a pheromonal suppression. It may also be partly through direct interaction, because the dominant females are aggressive towards the other females. The other way they help to suppress is that when, at particular stages of the breeding cycle, they throw the oldest female subordinates out of the group. So one way of getting your daughter to help in meerkat society is to sling her out into the outside world so she sees just how tough that is, and then when she comes back in, she's prepared to do the washing up.
I know a few humans that could benefit from that strategy, but quite complicated behaviour. Where do they get it from?
I think the cooperation is associated with desert living and with diurnality, with the fact that they're active during the daytime. And if you live in an open desert and you're active during the day, you're very, very susceptible to predators, and you've got to come up with some way of combating predators. And groups defend each other against predators. They put on guards to keep an eye out. They keep a huge network of burrows as escape systems from predators. So the group is very, very important in keeping predators out.
And that was Professor Tim Clutton-Brock from the University of Cambridge. Now, avoiding predators, as those cunning meerkats do, is also something we're going to be talking about with Dr. Andrew Smith, who's coming up very soon.